Same thing happened in Australia. You must have heard through Bill.
No.
Joan Buford saw it. She's not a woman, you see, who is so sentimental or emotional like that. She is very tough lady, you see. Joan Buford, yeah. So when Baba dropped the body, you see, she felt very, very upset, you see, and sad. I don't know, I can't recount her feelings, you see. Each one has his own or her own personal feelings. But she must have felt something. So the story that we hear from that side, you see, from Australia, and confirmed by Bill when he came recently, was that, well, in all her thoughts, she is leading a dedicated life. She lives there for Baba now, in Australia. So in the morning she goes with a basket of grain to feed her chooks, the chickens. You know, and from a distance, you see, what she sees is Baba standing there. Her all thoughts are there on Baba, you see, and there she is, sees him. And she finds him in the same dress that she had seen him, you see, in the pink coat, sadra, and standing there, reclining against a tree. And she goes there to catch hold of him, you see. And just then, a kookaburra, you know the Australian bird? Yeah. It has a peculiar cackle, you see, it just laughs like a human being. So she was distracted, and then Baba was no more there. You see. But she swears that she has seen him physically. And she says that if ever he would come again, I would, nothing on earth can distract me now.
Yeah.
And the next day again he appears in his traditional blue coat now this time, which she had also seen him there. And he was again there, you see, the same way. And the next, that day, I don't know what happened to her. I was told, or I remember that, I'm not sure of that, that she got tripped or something happened, you see. And then again, just a very short distance, and she couldn't touch him, that's all. But the two sights that she has had is confirmed by the people, you see. Huh? She showed you the place. There you are. Rana says she showed the places. Yeah. And the same thing happened with my cousin in Pune. Did you go to Pune? You were there in Pune?
Not this time,
no. No, when did you?
69.
Yeah. So there, my cousin, you see, she is absolutely helpless.
She, oh, yes, I heard of her.
She was there in Pune. She is now in Ahmednagar. So her sister was there at the time of Amartiti. And she can't be brought in the crowd. She can't lift a finger, you see. She can't lift an eyelash, you may call it. She's so helpless. She's young, very energetic, that her mind is very active. She controls the household and all, just sitting there or lying flat. Yeah, even her hands are to be lifted, you see. She can write letters, but absolutely helpless. See, if a fly sits there on a toe, she can't. Anywhere a mosquito stings, she can't drive away the mosquito that is there. Absolutely helpless. She's a yogi of the first degree, you see, I should say, to bear all this silently but with cheer. So, well, it so happened that at the Amartiti she couldn't be brought there. And she missed all that, you see. And she was very close to Baba. Here so often she has been brought and her whole body would be just lifted and placed across Baba's lap there, you see. And Baba would caress her face and embrace her and all that, you see. The whole, she's a woman, you see. Sheer helpless because of physical disability. So, she lives a dedicated life remembering Baba all the time. And she missed Baba's presence. And, well, all whole household goes on 31st January to Mehrabad. She's left all alone. So her sister volunteered to stay there, offered to stay there. It's just the same for her, she said. So they've started following the same program that would be there at Mehrabad. And the time came for 12 o'clock, silence, from 12 to 12:15, the time in between Baba dropped the body, you see. There's complete silence. So they also observed silence. Soon after they started observing the silence, in walks Baba. This is what the sister sees, mind you. She heard the steps too, that's what Rana says outside, you know, at our place there, Bindra, there's the steps there. So she feels that somebody has come now that she has observed silence, that well, for 15 minutes they have to observe silence. They were spellbound. So Dhan, who is the disabled lady, you see, just she has shut her eyes and she has bent down her head, sits there at the dining table on a chair and keeps quiet and with her eyes shut. Whereas by her side is her sister Roshan. Her eyes are open. She sees Baba entering the room and taking a round and going towards Dhan. In between herself and her sister, Baba stands there and he puts his arm around Dhan's shoulder, you see. And he stands, waits there. While they are so spellbound with the silence, self-imposed silence, that this woman cannot even utter a cry or welcome Baba. This girl who has seen Roshan. Whereas this one is so absorbed in Baba thought, you see, and Baba has his arm around her. So when after some minutes, Baba leaves her. She sees, he sees her also and he leaves. And she does not know what to do, you see, no sooner the silence period is over. Silence had taken the first place, you see, a place of importance than Baba's physical appearance. That is how mind is. So she shouts out to Dhan, her sister, said, Dhan, did you see Baba? Did you feel Baba? He was having his arm round your neck. She says, why didn't you tell me? She says, I was feeling so absorbed and so blissful. This time my Amartiti was so fine, you see. I could feel that. So then she narrated the whole incident. She says, why didn't you tell me? She said, I couldn't. But her Dhan was just like this, you know, as her usual this. But paralyzed. Paralyzed. Of course, yes, she could have got up and clung to Baba, you see. No. Why, if you want, you can. Unless. Even Thomas wouldn't have been able to touch him had he not ordered him to put his finger there.
But she could have at least sort of, you know, by doing like this.
Well, everything we can say it afterwards, you see.
No, I'm just picking up on the uptake to realize what the emotion is meaning
then. And we hear stories from the West too. You all bring some stories which are very heartwarming about Baba's physical presence. And we have been hearing of Mr. Luck, you see, Morris Luck, having seen Baba on the balcony, having seen him twice or something like that, you see. You know that, how he is, what are his feelings for Baba, you know?
Oh, the Luck brothers.
And Baba condescends to give him.
He called Baba his
friend. Yes, his friend.
He probably is, which I'm thinking about Baba, practically any Baba in the West, for Mr. Luck.
So he was lucky too.
Yeah.
And he casually reports to people, well, what's there in that? You see, I've seen him twice here, sit standing on the balcony. You see. I know he spoke with me. He's a good man, I tell you.